This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on Bottom Feeders, Home Dreamers, and Big Time Schemers. When neighborhoods are racked by foreclosures and the abandonment that accompanied the 2008 Great Recession and financial chicanery that popped the real estate bubble, significant studies have documented the loss in value experienced not only by homes on the block, but also houses within a mile away that also lose value. Put enough abandonment together and there's a tipping point that can change the reputation and economic reality of an entire neighborhood. It's what blockbusting, real estate speculation, federal financing restrictions, and legal segregation did to thousands of urban neighborhoods more than 50 years ago. It's also what inadequate foreclosure relief and similar speculation, credit deprivation, and legal indifference has the capacity to do now in thousands of communities, not only in urban areas, but also suburban and ex-urban developments where a lot of the foreclosure crisis was centered. Working with former organizers in the Phoenix area in 2009 and 2010 on an anti-foreclosure strategy in close-in Phoenix neighborhoods that had been working in lower-end, middle-income, brick, one-story houses, some even with small swimming pools, the foreclosed houses at 35 miles per hour wouldn't look much different from those that were occupied. But slowing down or walking by, we could identify one in three that were clearly somewhere in the foreclosure process or already vacant. Houses that could have been valued at $150,000 to $200,000 in 2006 could be had for as low as $25,000 to $50,000 if a family would have been able to get credit, which was increasingly difficult under the tighter lending standards that accompanied the subprime lending market. The new suburbs of 50,000 to 400,000 houses, 20 miles and more from the city center and the farther edges of Maricopa County, were even in worse shape. We had meetings on some blocks where half to two-thirds of the houses were in some process of foreclosure. Looking at the 153,000 properties in Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio on the RealtyTrack foreclosure list more closely, there was a lot of conclusions that became clearer with more attention. The Fannie Mae dump of these houses wasn't for pennies in 2012, 13, and 2014. These were not $1,000 giveaways. Yes, many of them were likely substantially devalued from their original purchase price, and that information wasn't available to us, but we could see that these were not giveaways for the most part, but more market corrections that could have been achieved if banks had modified by reducing principal to market rather than foreclosing and forcing foreclosures. Now, in many cases, as the houses moved, the ones getting to eventual resale often returning to higher assessed valuations. The other thing that was increasingly clear is that we were wandering the lands of hopes and perhaps shady dreams more than we were dealing with big-timers. Of the 153,000 plus homes, almost 115,000 were acquired from Fannie Mae by individuals, maybe folks hoping for a home, maybe small-timers thinking they might make a buck on the come. Other than another 9,000 or so bought between 2 and 5 from Fannie Mae, and they were surely small-time speculators, often concentrating on one suburb or city and hoping for the market to recover so they could make a buck. About 60 outfits, including the big-time Harbor Properties, picked up 50 homes or more. It's worrisome to believe that targeting the big boys might not be enough to catch the small fry and to sort out where the devil might be swimming in the deep blue sea on predatory contract for deed purchases as well. The impacts of all these real estate plays are somewhat off the radar now, but their impacts in communities, more of which are suburban and ex-urban than was imaginable decades ago, is going to be huge. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.